that testimony because as I was praying for y'all, first of all, I want to thank Jason for inviting me to come share with you guys. It's an honor to be here and just to see all of your faces. And I'm super thankful that I got here a little early so I could chat with some of y'all. And hopefully we have time to fellowship afterwards so we can get to know each other a little better. But the other day in class, actually Jason asked if I would come and share with y'all today. Maybe just a testimony or a word of encouragement for y'all. And I started praying about it, and I really felt like God was saying that you guys within this house have some amazing Bible teachers. Like, you guys know the Word. And so he didn't want me to come in and share that with y'all. You guys know the Word, and you teach the Word. What I felt like God was saying that he wanted to share a testimony just to rekindle this first love encounter with him. Specifically, I felt like God is drawing this body, this congregation, back into the secret place to just come and spend time with him. So amidst your circumstances when life is yelling at you, hey, how's this going to work out? How are you going to do this? You're stealing away to be with him. Maybe it's in the morning or in the evening and just being like, God, what are you saying over this situation? Specifically the other night after he asked me, I prayed and said, God, what are you saying for this family here? Because that's what you guys are. You guys are just a big, beautiful family. Like, y'all know each other. It's so awesome to see all the kiddos here and enjoying this fellowship together. It's just beautiful. But the verse that he gave me for y'all is, but when you pray, go into your private room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And that's Matthew 6:6. And I felt like that was so significant to what you just shared. You know, you could have, like you said, gone crazy, lost your cool, and just been like, what did you do? Like, you messed this up. You know how much money this is going to cost me? But instead, you went into the secret place and you said, Father, I need your help. Like, this is beyond my control. I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't know how we're going to fix this. And God's just like, I got you. I got you. We got this together, you know? And so from your testimony, what I heard was that he took you by the hand and walked it out with you, you know? And that's what he wants to do for all of us. And so for me, I just wanted to share my life testimony because that's exactly what he's done with me along my 32 years here on this planet. Even when I didn't know it, even when I didn't see it. And so I just want to be real with y'all, be vulnerable and open up and share about my life and share about who God is and who he has been for me. And the journey started, obviously, when I was a little one, like these guys running around with my family at church, at a fellowship similar to this. But my family was actually really broken. My mom was an alcoholic. My dad was very verbally abusive. And so we'd come and fellowship and do this kind of stuff on Sundays. But when we got back home, it was a totally different scene. And so when I got older to be an adult, I kind of had some questions. I hadn't really necessarily kindled an intimate relationship with the Father, so I didn't know him personally. I just had my parents' relationship with him. And so I had questions. And so through my teens and my 20s, I went off searching for answers, you know. And it led me to some really, really broken places. I got off lost in the world doing all this worldly stuff. And at the age of 27, some of my friends started getting married and moving on with their lives. And I saw everyone filled with this joy and this peace that I didn't have. And so one night after work, I was just in this place of utter brokenness. I was literally crying on the way home. And I was just like, God, I can't go on living like this. Like, please show me that you have a plan and a purpose for my life. Because the one that I've created for myself is not working. And I just need to know that you have something planned for me. So I went home and I was literally crying my eyes out. I was on my floor just begging God. Like, if he was real, would he just reveal himself to me? I needed to know that I knew that I knew that I knew that he was real. And so I was crying out and literally was so distraught and so in this place of brokenness, like utter helplessness, that I didn't have any other option, you know. And I was just like, please, God, come out of your hiding place and reveal yourself to me. So the next day, I go into work, and I was working two jobs at the time just to save some money. And I would always work through lunch on my first job so I could leave an hour early to go to my second job. So I'm in the office working, and out of nowhere, as over the lunch break, this man comes into the office, and I knew that he was a mighty man of God. Like, this guy, he's still my mentor, and he's a prophet. Like, he just, God uses him mightily to speak into other people's lives. And he'd been used before in the past to speak in my father's life to help him get some reconciliation. So anyway, he comes into the office, And my first reaction is like, oh no, like here comes this guy. Like, oh man, what is he going to say? Because I knew that he was able to see past the facade that I was putting up and that he knew what was going on in my heart, like before he even said a word. And so I kind of was trying to avoid the conversation. I said, hey, Mr. Bob, how are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm doing pretty good. And I was just like, hey, my dad and my mom are out to lunch, but if you want to leave a message for them, I'll get you a pen and a pad or whatever. And he's like, actually, I'm here to see you, son. And as soon as he said that, I was just like, no, like, come on, man, come on. And he's like, yeah, the Lord gave me a dream about you last night. And I'm like, no way. And he's like, yeah, God showed me that your cup is on empty and that he's about to fill it. And I was just like, I almost started crying, but I was trying to hold it together. You know, I'm a young lad, you know, like trying to be like, oh, I got this, whatever. So he's saying like, no, you don't understand. Like the Lord specifically showed me in a dream that you were on your knees in your apartment last night crying out to God, asking him to show you if he is real, and he's about to reveal himself. And I was like, come on. Like, it doesn't get more any more authentic than that. You know, like, at my, the grid that I had for God, I couldn't any understand it any other way than that this was God sending this guy to me to say, yeah, I see you. Like, I got you. It's okay. So he continues to tell me more about his dream that he had. And this guy, like I said, is a prophet, and God speaks to him in dreams and visions all the time and sends him around the world. He ministers to ministers. That's what him and his wife do. They've been doing it for 30 years, and they travel to the Philippines. They travel to Pakistan. They do all sorts of crazy stuff, a lot of stuff in the United States. And as part of his ministry, he takes young men like myself who are struggling in life to try to find their way, and he takes them up out of their normal scene, takes them on a couple-week missions trip so they can have this authentic, real encounter with God and just find their way. So he's telling me this because I didn't know that that's what he did. And I'm like, oh, that's great, Mr. Bob. You know, like, where are you guys going this year? And he's like, oh, we're going to Alaska. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I literally, the week before, I just went to the Barnes & Noble and bought a book on Alaska because I'd always wanted to go there. And I'm like, that's so crazy. Like, I've been desiring to go to Alaska. And he's like, well, it's funny you said that. He's like, give me your hand again, son. We're going to pray. And I'm like, okay. And he's like, well, I had a dream that seven young men were going with me on this trip, and I've only got six. And I believe that you're the seventh man, but I want to confirm that with the Lord. So he starts praying with me. And like I said, I have zero relationship with God at this point in my life. Like, besides that night crying out in prayer, I didn't pray. I didn't read the word. Like, I didn't have a grid for any of this stuff. So he grabs my hand and starts praying. And all of a sudden, what I know now to be the Holy Spirit came upon me. But in that moment, I didn't know what it was. And I got freaked out. I was like, what was that, man? Like, what was that? And he's like, did you feel that? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, that was just God letting me know that you are that seventh man. You're coming with us on this trip to Alaska. And I'm like, wait, I don't have any money. Like, I literally had just gotten back from a vacation. And I was just like, I spent all my money, Mr. Bob. Like, I would love to go to Alaska, but I can't afford it. And he's just like, everything's paid for. Just give me your license, your information. Don and I have your tickets paid for. We have your lodging taken care of. And I'm just like, what the heck? Like, this is crazy. Like, what are you doing? And he's just like, don't thank me. Thank the Lord. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here talking to you right now. And I'm just like, ah, this is crazy. So I had to have the conversation with my parents, like, hey, I'm going to need a couple weeks off work. This guy, you know, your friend of yours is inviting me on this trip to Alaska. And I had to talk to my other boss, and he was going to fire me, and I'm just like, whatever, you can fire me. Like, you don't even understand where I'm at in life. Like, I need to do this trip. And he's just like, all right, well, call me when you get back. So before the trip starts, I decided it would be a good idea to hang out with Mr. Bob just to kind of see what kind of character he is, because I'm going to be spending 2 or 3 weeks in the RV with him. And a couple other guys that I don't know. So I spend a couple mornings and I meet him at McDonald's and we have breakfast together. And every morning he just shares with me these crazy testimonies about how God has moved in and through him and just impacting people's lives. And he's telling me like crazy stuff, like Benny Hinn type stuff. Like, he'll go and get words for people, lay hands on them and they're falling out and people are getting miraculously healed and blind eyes are opening and deaf ears are opening. And he's telling me all these stories. And there's like this hunger that's billowing in within me. Like, half of me doesn't believe anything that he's saying, but half of me is like, if this is real, like, I want to encounter this God. So the third morning we're meeting, and he's telling me this story, And I'm just looking at him, and he just calls me out. He's like, "You don't believe a word that I'm telling you right now, do you?" And I was like, "Honestly, Mr. Bob, you're a stranger to me still, and these stories are pretty radical, and I don't know this God that you're telling me about. So if it is real, I'd love to see it, but honestly, I don't really believe what you're saying." And he's like, "Well, you're about to start believing because you're going to start seeing it with your own eyes." And I'm like, "Oh, man, like this guy is so bold. Like he has so much faith and trust in the Lord to move through his life on a daily basis." It was incredible. So I was just like, "Man, I'm just excited to hang out with this guy." So fast forward, we're on our flight to Alaska, and we're leaving Baltimore. And just so happens, I'm sitting directly across the aisle from Mr. Bob. And I got to spend that morning getting to know some of the other guys, and some of the guys are recovering drug addicts. One of the guys had just separated from his wife, and he was kind of mourning the loss of his wife and his kids and trying to find his way. All these guys that were on this trip with us were in different places in their walk with the Lord, and they're trying to reconcile all these broken situations, and they needed a touch from God, and myself included. So Mr. Bob starts telling me stories again, and he's basically just creating an atmosphere. Like what I learned from him is when you tell testimonies about what God has done in your life, you give him room to do it again. And so he's sitting on this plane, and he's just sharing with the person sitting next to him about these crazy God stories. And he turns over to me, and I'm listening to my headphones, you know, rocking out some music. But I felt like 5 seconds before he leans over to talk to me, I felt like I was supposed to pull my earbud out so I could hear what he's going to say. And he leans over to me and he's just like, "Buddy, it's getting thick in here. Like, pay attention. God's getting ready to move." And I'm like, "What? Like, what are you talking? Getting thick in here? What are you talking about?" And so the flight attendant comes walking down the aisle, and he grabs her hand as she comes by, and says, "Excuse me, ma'am, I have a word from heaven for you today." And I'm like, I'm zoned in now. Like, what is going to happen? Like, this dude is nuts. And so she's like, "Excuse me," and she bends down, and he says, "I have a word from heaven for you today. Your son is going to be okay." And she was like, "What? Like, what are you talking about?" And she's like, "No, I'm not making this up. Like, your son is in the hospital, and the Lord just told me as you were walking by that he's going to be fine." And this lady starts bawling, crying, like, "Oh, like, how do you know?" And it turns out she tells us her story. Like, she, before work that morning, their family had some crazy situation, and her son was in a coma from some car accident, and he'd been in this situation for a couple weeks, and she had just gotten up enough strength to leave and just put the situation into God's hands to go back to work. So here's her first day back at work, and here comes Mr. Bob being the mouthpiece of God telling her that the situation is going to be okay. So she is like bawling, crying, you know? Well, anyway, fast forward, we land. She calls her husband just touch base, and turns out the moment that Mr. Bob communicated this word to her, her son woke up in the hospital. And I'm like, "What?" I'm like, "This is crazy." You know, like, "No, come on." And I'm like, I was like, "Mr. Bob, I don't really know the Bible yet, but from what I remember from when I was a little kid, I feel like we're walking in the Bible right now. This is crazy." And he's like, "This is only the beginning, son. It's going to get better from here." And I'm like, "Come on, this is crazy." So we get up to Alaska, and like I said, we rented an RV. So Mr. Bob's wife is kind of the administrator. She kind of stays at home, and they call it the command center, and she kind of orchestrates stuff, like where we're going and what we're doing. And so she had rented this RV for us to stay in, and I'm super inquisitive. This whole time I'm asking a bazillion questions because I don't understand anything about anything. So all the guys, when we got their RV, ran off to get snacks and get food for the night, and I'm just sitting at Mr. Bob's side just drawing from his wisdom and from his experiences, and I'm just asking him questions. But I was really curious as to what we were doing in Alaska. And so I asked him, I was like, "So, you know, you brought us all the way up here. Like, what are our plans now that we're here?" And he's like, "That's interesting that you should say that, because the Lord has brought us on this trip to teach every one of you how to walk by faith." And I'm like, "Oh, that's awesome." And I was like, "So what are we doing exactly?" And he's just like, "I don't know yet." And I was like, "Are you kidding me? You brought us all the way up here and we don't know where we're going?" And he's like, "The Lord gives me 3 or 4 dreams every single night of what I'm supposed to do the next day, where I'm supposed to go. And I'm just trusting that now that we've been obedient to come here, like he showed me in my dream, that he's going to show me the next place that we're supposed to go." And I'm like, that is ridiculous. Like, man, that is some serious faith. You know, like, I don't even understand this faith thing yet. But that, if I was somewhere on the grid, that is intense faith. And he's just like, man, I'm telling you, just like you saw it on the plane, like, God's going to show up. Like, he brought us here where he guides, he provides. He's going to show us the way we're supposed to walk in it. And I'm like, okay. So sure enough, that night, he has a couple of dreams. And we wake up in the morning and he's like, son, you got a smartphone? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, well, I got a dumb phone. You need to bust out your smartphone. Google these two terms. And I'm like, okay. And he's like, last night, I saw us driving down the road in a place called Wasilla. And I kept hearing in the spirit the words Northgate. And so I'm like, okay. So I Google Northgate Wasilla, and it turns out it's a small church just like this, actually, which is pretty crazy. But it was a small little congregation like this. And so he's like, that's the spot. That's where we're going. He's like, I don't know what we're doing there yet, but we're supposed to go. So we cruise there. It's probably an hour and a half drive from where we flew into in Anchorage. And we get there, and like I said, it's a small congregation like this, but there was only one person there when we got there. It was in the evening, and it was the youth pastor. And he was there vacuuming the facilities, and we roll up with like six burly-looking dudes, myself and Mr. Bob, and he's like, can I help y'all? And we're like, well, we actually came to here to help you. We're seven missionaries from Maryland. And I'm like, I'm a missionary? But he's telling me, he's like, we're seven missionaries from Maryland, and we just came to help you all in any way we can. We feel like the Lord's led us here to help you. And we start telling him a story. He's kind of a little, he was kind of shocked and kind of like, this is weird kind of thing when we first started talking to him. But the more we shared, the more he lightened up and kind of welcomed us in. He's like, yeah, come in. Started showing us the church, kind of like you were doing this morning, just kind of showing, oh, this is where we meet, and this that kind of thing. And then he started asking us questions about ourselves. And he's like, you know, where'd you guys say you were from? And we're like, we're from Maryland. And he's like, that is too crazy. I'm pretty sure my wife had a dream about some people coming to visit us. Let me call her. So he calls her on the speakerphone. And he calls her and he's like, hey, babe, remember that dream you had 2 weeks ago about those men coming to visit us? Where'd you say they were from? And she goes, hold on, I got to find my journal. I think it was Maine, but let me check real quick. So she goes and finds her little dream journal. And she goes, no, it was Maryland. They were from Maryland. And we're all like, I'm like, what is going on? This is crazy. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I literally felt like I was on like an episode of that show, Punked or whatever, where somebody's going to like jump out of the closet and be like, gotcha. Because the way that God was orchestrating everything was just blowing my mind. Like he was in every single detail. And he was just leading us and guiding us step by step. So we get there. And again, we have this meeting with this guy. We go back into our time, our RV to have a time of fellowship, and I'm just continuing to pick Mr. Bob's brain. I'm just like so hungry at this point. Like he said, my cup was on empty, and I was just desiring it to be filled. And so I was just asking questions. And so I was just like, man, Mr. Bob, like God speaks to you a lot. Like, what does that look like? And he started explaining it to me. And he was like, you know, it's on purpose that you're asking me all these questions. And I'm like, okay. And he's like, because God's going to start speaking to you in a similar fashion. He's going to start waking you up in the middle of the night if he hasn't already. And he's going to start speaking to you in dreams. And in the daytime, he's going to start showing you things that you weren't able to see before. And I'm like, yes, like this is awesome. Like this is what I want. Like I just want to be able to commune with God and be able to understand his voice and to be able to walk with him, you know. So he's just like, no, I'm serious. Like, you need to get a journal, keep it by your bed with a pen or a pencil, and write down, like, because tonight I believe that the Lord's going to speak to you in dream. And I'm like, okay. So I did. I had my little journal there. I was ready to rock and roll. And I go to sleep that night, and sure enough, I have my first dream in the longest time that I can remember. And in the dream, Mr. Bob comes up to me in the RV, and he starts shaking me. And he says, get ready! And, like, shaking me so strong in the dream that I wake up, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, like, what was that? So I just wrote it down, like, Mr. Bob shaking me, get ready. I was like, I don't know, you know? So I go back to sleep, and I have the same dream over this time. It's even more intense. And Mr. Bob comes up to me again, and he's like, I'm telling you, get ready. And I woke up the next time, and now it's first thing in the morning, and we're sitting in our little RV. And Mr. Bob's sitting at our little kitchen table in our RV sipping on some coffee. He's like, "Do you have any dreams last night, buddy?" And I'm like, "You were freaking me out, man. Like, I did have dreams, and they're both of you. Like, what the heck? This is so weird." And he's like, "What were your dreams about?" And I was just like, "Well," I told him, I was just like, "You're shaking me and telling me to get ready." And he's like, "Well, me in your dream was actually God telling you to get ready because he's coming for you today. And, like, this is your day." And I'm like, "Oh, my gosh." And I didn't have, like I said, zero grid. He's like, "Today is your day. The Lord showed me in a dream last night that he's going to touch you today." And I'm like, "Okay." And I have zero grid for God. So the whole morning we're going to these meetings and we're going to these conferences. And I'm like walking on eggshells because I'm just like waiting like expectantly but almost fearfully for this touch of God. Like, I have no idea what to expect, but I've heard all these stories from Mr. Bob about people getting blown out of their shoes and falling out and shaking and all this stuff. And so I'm like, I don't know if I'm ready for that. Like, if that's what God's like, I don't know if that's what I want, but I'm like, whatever. I don't want the real thing, you know? So we go into this meeting, and I don't know if any of y'all in here have heard of Bethel Church out in Redding, California. But Northgate Wasilla is actually a sister church of that organization. So they were doing some of the same schooling, like Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry. They were doing that. So we got to sit in a couple classes. And they were talking about all this stuff, and I was clueless. They were talking about speaking in tongues and praying in the Spirit and doing all this stuff. And again, I'm just young buck being like, "What does that mean? What does that mean?" I'm sure they're getting tired of me, but I was just like super curious, you know? And so finally, I think the guy got tired of me asking questions. And he was just like, "You know what? We're just going to take you down to an intercessor's meeting so you can understand what it is that we're talking about. We can talk about this all day long, but if you see it, then you'll understand." So I'm like, "Okay." So we go downstairs in the facility, and when we're walking into the room, it sounded like there was like a praise and worship concert going on. Like, I'm talking like drums and like people are like yelling and woo, like going crazy. And it sounded like there was probably like 40 or 50 people in there. And we walk in, and it's these three women, three little kids, and a guy playing the bongos. And these women are just like caught up in this. Now I know they were just like in the Spirit, but at the time I was just like, "Man, this is some crazy like voodoo stuff. Like, what is going on?" I was super intimidated. They're just like praying in the Spirit, you know, like going after, like praying and stuff, and just like going for it. So I walk in there and I see these women going after it, and I was like, "Nope," and I walked right back out. And so as I'm walking out, Mr. Bob grabs me by the arm and he's like, "Where are you going, son?" And I'm like, "This is some weird stuff, Mr. Bob." I was like, "You told me all these crazy stories and there was one thing to hear about it, but I'm kind of freaked out, I'm not gonna lie." And he's just like, "Come on, buddy." He's like, "You're going to let three little old ladies intimidate you from getting the encounter from the Lord?" And I was just like, "All right." He's like, "You've been traveling all over the world doing all this crazy stuff, jumping off bridges, diving out of airplanes." He's like, "These three women have nothing on that. Like, come on." And I'm like, "All right." So I come in, and because I came in, the other six guys that were with us were like, "All right, we can hang in here too," because it was new for everyone. Like, we had never really experienced this measure of God and like relating to him this way. So we go in there, and these women just started moving prophetically. Like, I knew the guys' stories that were with us on this mission because we'd had a couple days to connect now, and I knew where they were at. And these women just started, boom, piercing them with these words of knowledge from the Lord, like just telling them right where they're at. Like, I just, like, from my one buddy Antoine, who had just split up with his wife and lost a couple of his kids, they just told him right where he's at. It's just like, "Hey, the enemy has come in. He's trying to bring division in your family. He's moved your wife out with your kids, and you're in this place where you're searching. But what you don't realize is that God has separated you unto himself because he's pursuing you, and he wants to reconcile your heart to him so that he can reconcile your family back to you." And he's just like, boom, like losing it. And I'm just like, I'm crying because I'm like, "Man, that is amazing." Like, God is so into every detail, like I said before, and he's so after our hearts. Like, he just wants us to know that he is for us and that he's with us, you know? And so he starts, they continue praying for this guy, and as they're praying for him, for the first time in my life, God literally opens my eyes spiritually, and I see him standing there. And as the women are laying hands, every time they pray a word of prayer over him, they're literally putting armor, like gold-plated armor on him. And they're just suiting him up, like they're suiting him up for battle. And it just reminded me of Ephesians 6, where God puts up, like says, put on this armor because you need it to fight the warfare that's coming against you, you know? And so I told him that afterwards. I was like, dude, I have never seen anything like this in my life. I don't know what I'm talking about. But when they were praying for you, I just saw them putting this physical armor on you. Like they put a breastplate on you. They put a helmet on you. They put shoes on your feet. And he's just like, dude, that is awesome, you know? And so earlier that morning, Mr. Bob said, when you start seeing stuff, because God's going to open your eyes, you tell me and I'll try to interpret what's going on. And so that's kind of what he was telling me. He's like, oh, it's the spiritual armor. Like they're putting it back on. They're preparing him to enter back into the battle for his family. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. So the circle, we're all in this circle, and these women just keep moving around the circle, and they are meeting each and every one of us. God is meeting each and every one of us right where we're at. Every person in the circle gets this crazy, intimate, prophetic word. And I'm like the last one to get prayed for, and I'm sitting there like, this is awesome for these guys, but I want it. Like, God, come on. Like, I want this, you know? So right before they pray for me, they pray for this guy next to me, and he just had both of his hips replaced, and he could hardly walk. Like, when we came to the airport, I actually had to carry his bags and stuff for him. And they're praying for him. And as they're praying for him, I'm just like, God, come on, like, move in this place. Like, I don't even know what that means, but, like, just do it. And this time, like, again, I see stuff. And this doesn't happen to me all the time. It was really specific to this encounter with God. But, again, I saw something with my natural eyes that I never had seen before. And what I saw was these clouds came and filled the room where we were. And out of the clouds came this like beam of light, and it came right down into the middle of our circle. And I was just like, man, that was crazy. Like, what the heck was that? And so I tapped Mr. Bob. I'm like, Mr. Bob, I'm seeing stuff, man. I don't know what this is. And he was just like, God's just letting you know that his presence is in this house. Like, he's moving. Like, he's invading this tabernacle with his presence and his light and his glory. Like, he's coming, the glory cloud is coming. And I'm like, whoa, that's crazy. That's awesome. So anyway, while this is happening, simultaneously, these women are laying hands on this guy who just had a double hip replacement. He falls on the ground, starts speaking in tongues like these ladies were doing, and I'm like, what the heck? This is so bizarre. Like, I'm a linguist. Like, I speak Spanish. I speak a little bit of French. I speak Portuguese. And so I'm literally trying to understand this prayer language that the ladies are speaking, number one. And then this guy that can hardly speak English, let alone another language, is speaking the same language. And I'm like, what is going on? This is so crazy. Well, they start laying hands on him, praying, like praying healing. They don't know about his situation. They start praying healing. And they're like, yep, God's giving you brand new hips, brand new hips. And he's just like, yeah, like screaming, like, yeah. He gets up off the floor, like, no joke. My mind is still blown to this day. He gets up off the floor, runs out the door, and literally, like, you can see him out these windows. There's a road that runs all the way down the street. He runs down the whole thing. And I'm like, come on, this is crazy. Like, what the heck? And so I'm losing it. I'm just like, all right, God, you're moving in this guy's life. You're moving in my buddy's life. You're moving here. Please don't leave me out. Mr. Bob said you had a touch for me. Like, I want all of it. Like, whatever you've got, like, give it to me. Like, I want to experience the fullness of your reality. So sure enough, the ladies come, and they start laying hands on me. And at this point in my life, like I said, my view of Christianity had been tainted by what I'd seen in my household or what I'd seen on television by these evangelists and all this stuff. And I didn't have a grid for the real. And so I'd kind of built up a wall to that. So when these women started laying hands on me, even though I'd seen what had just happened in the room, I was still kind of hard-hearted towards that. And they were kind of pushing on me like they wanted me to go to the ground. And I was just like, no. Like, in my mind, I'm saying, like, no, God. Like, I want this to come from you. I don't want this to be like a man-made thing. Like, I want an authentic encounter with you. Like, let me just know that's you. And so I'm praying this in my head. And this woman who's praying in the spirit, she goes, it's okay. It's me. Submit. Submit. It's me. And I'm like, what the heck? Like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. So God is like meeting me right where I'm at in my mental battle, you know, as I'm wrestling with him, almost like Jacob. Like, I'm wrestling, like, I want the real thing. And he's like, just submit to me, and I'll give you the real thing. And I'm like, okay. So in my flesh, where I was at, I was just like, God, this is what it's going to look like for me to submit to you. And I take two steps back from the ladies, and they're laying hands on me, and I just sit on the ground. And as soon as I sit on the ground, I'm just sitting here like this, like, okay, whatever. And as soon as I sit on the ground, literally I got blasted with like 1,000 volts of electricity. It was like, it scared the living daylights out of me. I literally thought that somebody hit me with a stun gun or something. And I was like, like, what is happening? And I'm like, I'm freaking out, literally. Like, my first thought was, I just asked God for the fullness, and now I'm like, I didn't mean it, like, no! Like, it was terrifying, literally. So I'm laying there, and these women are like, yes, the Holy Spirit's got him. And I'm like, no, this is awful. It was terrible. So I'm laying there on the floor, and these waves of electricity are just rushing over me. And it's like, I thought it was bad at first, and it just keeps getting stronger and stronger, and it's literally going from the top of my head down to my feet. Meanwhile, the women are dancing around the room, and they go and grab some anointing oil, and they start like rubbing it on me, and I can't move. I am plastered to the ground. Like, I just felt like somebody had put like 1,000 pounds of weight on my chest, and I'm just like, what's happening? Like, this is crazy. And out of my map, like in my mind, I thought I was screaming, help me, help me. But my buddies told me later that all I was doing is going, and for the rest of the trip, they just called me Choo Choo, because they were like, you're just hollering like a Choo Choo train. And I'm like, whatever, man, it was intense. So I'm sitting there on the floor, and like I said, they're anointing me and just praying over me. And they were praying stuff to me, and I could hear what they were saying. And afterwards, because I was trying to journal about it, I was asking my friends, like, do you remember what that lady prophesied over me? And he's like, dude, they were praying in tongues the whole time. And I was like, no, they weren't, dude. Like, I could literally hear what they were saying. Like, they were saying, like, you're called to do this, and you're going to do this thing, and you're going to do that. And they're like, no, dude, they were praying in the Spirit the whole time. There was no English that came out of their mouth. And I'm like, what? That's so crazy. Well, anyway, they're praying over me. It keeps getting more and more intense. And it gets so intense that I physically can't handle it. And I, like, black out / pass out on the church floor. And I'm in the church 1 second, and the next second, kind of like John, where he gets called up. I don't know whether it was like a dream or whether it was a vision or what happened. Honestly, I still don't know. But the next thing I knew, where I was standing here with y'all, and the next thing I knew, I was standing in the library, and there was like 2 tiers of books on either side, and there's a little table with a book sitting on it, and a big cup of tea, and then the far side was just this big, beautiful window with nothing, like this white light that was coming in. And my first thought when I came to in this library was like, well, I just died. Like, I want an authentic encounter with God, and here I am. Like, I've passed. Like, I just, I died in some random city, in some random church in Mesilla, Alaska, with people I don't even know. Like, what the heck? And so, like, I'm like, literally at this point, I think that I've just died. So I'm like, I'm terrified, you know, because I'm like, I'm about to have this, what I know to be true from when I was taught, is like, I'm about to have this face-to-face encounter with God, you know? And so I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, this is crazy. So I'm sitting here having these, like, terrorizing thoughts, and this big booming voice says to me, come, sit at my table, drink my cup, read from my book, gain my wisdom. And I'm like, okay. But as he was saying that, I felt like it was like this peaceful voice, you know? And so I'm like, okay, like, everything's okay. Like, I'm just going to go sit down. And so just like there's this table here, I go and sit down. And I start drinking this cup of tea that's sitting there. And as I'm drinking it, this wave of peace just comes over me. And I'm just like, man, what kind of tea is this? This is incredible. Like, oh, man, this is good. And I was just like, like sipping it down. And as I'm enjoying this cup of tea, the book that's sitting in front of me blows open. Like somebody had just opened the door behind me, and this gust of wind comes in. And the book blows open, and I realize it's the Bible. And I'm just like, oh, man, I wish I would have read more of that in my life. Like, I'm like having all these thoughts of regret, you know? And as I'm sitting there looking at the Bible, and I remember specifically I was reading through Isaiah. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden this person appears in front of me. And I'm like, whoa, like taken back, because it was a person like myself, but I couldn't see his face. It was just like this white, like if somebody had a flashlight, like a huge radiant flashlight right behind my head, so you couldn't see my face, but it was just light. And in this point in time, I had no grid for what was happening, but I just trusted this person, you know? They were radiating peace, and I just innately trusted them. I now know it was definitely Jesus. The things that he explained to me and said to me, I knew it was the Lord. But anyway, he says, give me your hands. So I reach out my hand, and as soon as he touches me, I just start having these, like, almost like a recall of my whole life. Like, from the time I was born to the time I was 10 years old, and I had a brain tumor, and I almost died, and all this stuff, like, event by event. And he starts taking me into my teenage years, and he's basically showing me all these things, and he's revealing to me why they happened, and what the purpose was behind it, and all these things, and how through all these circumstances he was just pursuing me. But when he got to my teenage years and my 20s, he showed me that he was in those situations as well, all the circumstances and the whole thing. But the whole time he showed me that I was just running away. Like, he was like right behind me every step, and I was just running. And he also gave me eyes to see. He didn't say anything, but he gave me eyes to see that I had been living super selfishly. Like, I'd been doing all these things, like all these adventures. I traveled around the world and did all these cool trips, like, in the world's eyes, but they're all for me. And so I'm sitting there, and I just start crying, you know. I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, because I still think I'm dying. Like, this is it. Like, this is my, like, life review or whatever. Like, I don't even know at this point. And so I'm just like, please, please, please give me a second chance. Like, I know that I'm meant to do more with my life. Just, like, give me another chance. I'm, like, literally begging. And he goes, I'm glad that you feel that way, because you are going to get a second chance, and this is what you're going to do with your life. And he starts telling me all this stuff. He's like, you're going to rescue young men from addictions. You're going to help restore families. You're going to do this and all this stuff. And he's telling me, like, specifics. And I'm like, this is incredible. I'm like, instantly in this place of despair, like, I'm dying, to this renewed sense of hope, like, oh my gosh, like, God does have a plan and a purpose for my life. Like, the prayer that I prayed 2 months ago is now coming to fulfillment. He's telling me exactly the plans and the purposes that he has for me. And I'm sitting there, and he's holding my hands, and all of a sudden my chair starts shaking in this vision. And I'm like, whoa, like, what's going on? Like, oh. And in the natural, the people in the church were waking me back up, because I'd been passed out on the church floor for 45 minutes. And so they're waking me up, because they're starting to get worried about me. So they're shaking me awake. But in the dream, or in this vision encounter, my chair is shaking. And all of a sudden, not so I don't lose consciousness of what's happening, he grabs my hand so strongly. Like, and I'm like, okay, I'm paying attention. Like, what are you saying? And he keeps squeezing it even harder. And I'm just like, ow, ow, stop, you're hurting me. Like, I know, what are you saying? And he says to me, I just want you to know that I'm all powerful, and I will never leave you or forsake you. And I was just like, in the moment, I was just like, okay, I get it, you're hurting me. And the next thing I know, boom, I'm back down the church floor. And I'm like, what the heck just happened? That was crazy. But my first reaction, like, I was laying on the floor. They have pictures of me. I was literally laying on the floor like I had been crucified. So, like, I had died to my old self, and I had resurrected. I came back almost as a different person, like, immediately. But my first thought when I came back to the church floor was, no, take me back. Like, I just want to be, wait, you weren't finished telling me what I was supposed to do. And my buddies are all like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, man, I gotta go get my journal. I gotta write this down. I'm gonna forget. So I get up, and it was the craziest thing. Like, I don't even really know how to explain it, but I literally, like I said, I'd died, and I'd been given new life. Like, the Spirit of God had been planted within me in this encounter. And I literally could see things differently. Like, colors were brighter. Like, the flowers were more beautiful. I could see people, and I could see Jesus in them. And it was incredible. But I knew that I had to write this encounter down. So I was just like, oh, I can't get lost in this moment. Like, hey, like, take me outside. I need to grab my journal. Because I went to stand up, and I couldn't even hardly walk. Like, I was so weak. And like, I've heard people talk about, like, being drunk in the Spirit. Like, that's the only way I can explain it. Like, I was just like, oh man, like, what is going on? So my buddy carried me outside. I started writing down stuff, just like Mr. Bob told me, like, if I had a dream. And in the middle of writing it all down, I fell asleep, and I slept for like 16 hours. It was like, poof, I was out. And throughout the night, I had all these other dreams. And I woke up in the morning, and I journaled them. And over the next week that we were there, all the dreams that I had that night were the people that we were encountering over the next week, like, we'd be in somebody's house, and I'd be like, oh, that's a picture that I saw in my dream. And Mr. Bob's like, hey, you're just on track, man. Like, God's speaking to you, and he's showing you things in advance so that when you get to that moment, you know that he's with you. And so I came away from that encounter having received exactly what I asked God for. I got down on my knees this month and a half prior, asking God, if you have a plan and a purpose for my life, like, I need to know, because I can't go on living like this. And God's just like, well, let me tell you the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you, plans not to forsake you, plans to give you a hope, you know, and all this stuff. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, you're so good. So I come back from that experience, and literally I don't know one thing about the Bible except for the little Bible verses that I memorized when I was these guys' age. And so the first day I get back, God asked me to start a Bible study. And I'm like, how am I going to start a Bible study? Like, how am I going to teach people? I don't know anything. And he's like, you know me. You just met me. You know that I'm real and that I'll meet my kids right where they're at. And so I'm like, okay. So we started having this Bible study. And I'm mowing the lawn, and I'm, again, wrestling with God. Like, I can't do a Bible study, God. I don't know the first thing about the Bible. I can't teach anybody. And he's just like, you know me. And so I said, well, that's true, God, but if you want me to have a Bible study, send me the people. And he's like, okay. So I'm having this conversation in my head. As I'm praying this out, I get a text message from this guy that I had met 6 months prior, before I got saved, at a house party. And I had told him, this guy, about how I'd been hungering for God. Like, I hadn't encountered God yet, but I had been hungering. And so he texts me. He's like, dude, this is super random, and I got your number from your ex-girlfriend. But I'm driving to my football game tonight, and all I can think about is the conversation we were having in the kitchen that night at your buddy's house about how you were hungering for God. And I believe that we're going to find him in the Word. He's like, would you want to have a Bible study with me? And I called him up. I was like, dude, you're never going to believe what God was just talking to me about. I was like, dude, we have to have a Bible study. So we started getting together at a little bagel shop in my hometown at like 5:30 in the morning before we'd both go to work. Just started opening up the Word and talking about God together. And I shared my testimony that I just shared with y'all. And he was like, man, that is crazy. And I'm like, it is crazy, dude. I don't even know what to, like, how to move forward from there. But I know it's got to be step by step, so I'm just going to be obedient to the next thing that he's asking me to do. So we start having this gathering, and in my mind, in my youthful zeal, I'm anticipating, like, masses of people coming, like, yes, like, God is pouring out his Spirit on all flesh, like, it's going to be amazing. And we plan this big Bible study, and the first day, three people show up, and I'm like, all right, God, like, what the heck, like, you told me to have this, like, where is everyone? And he's like, just trust me. And I'm like, okay. So I go, and I'm talking to the guys. And the one guy that I invited, I had seen him 6 times that day. We went to church. I saw him at church. We went to lunch somewhere. I saw him at this venue. We went to the grocery store. I saw him at the grocery store. And I kept inviting him to come. And every time he's like, no, dude, I'm busy. I can't come. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't think it's all an accident that I keep running into you, dude. If you want to come over, we're going to have bomb food. We're going to have some fellowship. Just come hang out. And he's like, okay. So he ends up coming, and I just share my testimony again, the same story I just shared with y'all about how God is real, and he's into every intimate detail of our lives, and he sees everything. So we're sitting there, and my two other buddies go inside to grab some soda. And this guy's sitting here, and he's like, you know, I really appreciate you being persistent today. He's like, every time I saw you, I just saw God pursuing me, and I was running from him. You know, I've been suicidal for the last 3 months, and when I went to church this morning, I was thinking about killing myself. And you came up, and you told me that God was inviting me to this intimate encounter with him, and I just kind of chuckled, like, yeah, that's not real. You know, and then I saw you again at the restaurant, and then I saw you again at the grocery store, and I just knew that it was God saying, just come, will you just come? And so he's like, I don't know what happened when you were sharing your testimony tonight with us, but, like, the Spirit of God touched me, and I feel like he's given me a reason to live again. And I'm just like, yes, like, come on, Jesus. And so God was just like, I told you, just trust me. Like, I know that in your flesh you want to see the masses come, but I'm more concerned about the individuals. The ones that I place in front of you, they'll make up the masses, and eventually there will be these crowds, these flocks of people coming to know me intimately. And I'm just like, okay, cool. I'm just like, yes, I'm all about that. So I'd go around, and at that time, none of my friends were saved. And so I knew that if I was going to influence them, everyone told me not to, because they were like, you're a baby Christian, man, you're going to fall back, don't do this. But my friends hung out at the bar. And so I would go to the bar and just tell my testimony. And people were like, dude, you're crazy, man. What are you doing here? You need to be like in a church preaching or something. And I'm just like, man, like Jesus even said that like it's not the healthy that need the doctor, it's the sick, you know? And so like if there's anybody that's sick, it was us, man. I was in this scene. I know that we're looking for answers in the wrong place. So I was just sharing my testimony everywhere I went. And like people were looking at me like I was crazy. But after 2 months of doing that, we had about 40 people come into our little gathering because they knew that what I was talking about was real. And so when they'd show up, again, I still didn't know the word, but we would just invite God's presence to come in. I'd throw in some Bethel worship music, some Jesus culture, and I'd just be like, Holy Spirit, come and touch whoever needs a touch from you right now. And he would. And I would tell people my testimony, and people were getting touched left and right. Like the same, not to the extent that I had it, but this presence of God would come on people, and they'd be like, what is going on right now? And I'd be like, God's just loving on you. Like, all right, everybody, like, same Holy Spirit that's inside of me is inside of you. Let's go lay hands on them and see what God's saying. And so we'd start, like, hearing stuff in the Spirit, and God was just opening up, and it was beautiful. But meanwhile, we're meeting at my parents' house, and they're still broken. Like, my dad is still struggling, wrestling out his relationship with his father, and my mom's still an alcoholic, and all this stuff is happening. But they have a beautiful house right on the water. So the first time we had a meeting, my mom's like, yeah, you can meet on the back porch as long as you don't interrupt dad and his buddies watching the game. And I'm like, okay, cool, because they weren't even going to church at this point. They were just stay home and watch football. So I'm like, okay. So we're on the back porch, and after 4 weeks of masses of people being drawn to our house, my dad gets curious, and he's like, all right, I'm gonna sit in with you guys. Is that okay? I want to see what's going on tonight, because this is weird, man. Like, there's a lot of people coming. And I'm like, I know, Dad. Like, God is amazing. Like, he's so real. He's showing up. And I keep sharing testimonies, and he's kind of looking at me like I'm crazy. So he comes out, and the one night that he comes out, this person shares a testimony about reconciliation of relationship with their father. And I look over at my dad, and he's just crying. And I'm just like, yes, like, come on, God, like, do it. So from that moment on, he started attending our Bible studies. And he was just like, oh, man, I don't know what God is doing, but God's doing something. So he started hanging out with Mr. Bob, going on these trips, and, like, now my dad is on fire. He since started his own little Bible study. He's got a crew of people. He's involved with his church. He's on the eldership board there. And this is all in, like, 6 years' time. Like, God just did a work overnight. And my mom was a little slower to get on board. She was really intimidated by all, like, the moves of the Spirit and how God was healing people and all this stuff. And she was broken on the inside. And so she had, like me, had no grid for any of it. And so while we were meeting on the back porch, she would cook amazing meals for everyone, you know, like prep and make sure the house was in order and do all this stuff. And her gift is hospitality. She just flows in it without even trying. But she was really intimidated by everything that God was doing in the house. And she even told me, she's like, you know, this is really weird for me. I'm really thankful to see that you and Dad have opened up your hearts to the things of God, but, like, I don't think I'm ready for that. And I'm just like, it's okay, Mom. Like, God meets us right where we're at, you know? So this one night after she had shared with me, Mr. Bob just happens to show up at our Bible study, and as soon as he walks in the door, he had a word for my mom about her father passing away and some stuff that had happened to her. She was actually abused when she was younger, and he just, like, pierced to her heart, and she just opened up, and it was the most beautiful thing. And at the same time, these two other girls who have a prophetic worship ministry had shown up that night, and so they're just, like, singing How He Loves, like, he is jealous for me. They're singing this as Mr. Bob comes and has this word for my mom, and I just saw her heart melt, and it was so beautiful. And I could go on forever. I don't know how long y'all have, but I could go on sharing testimonies about how God just continues to move in my life and through my life. But what I say all the time is that's what he wants for all of us. And what I was saying when I first started was that in Matthew 6:6 is like, when you pray, go into the secret place because your Father sees what is done in secret. And so like the desires of your heart, the help that you need, the broken family situation, the finances that you need to pay bills, whatever that stuff is, like God's like, I know that you need all those things. Just come spend some time with me. And it's from that place of intimacy that we find the peace that you are able to find in your workplace situation. You know, if you weren't spending time with Him, your flesh might have risen up and you might have been like, you know, I got some words for somebody. And God's just like, no, I have the word that's going to change the situation. And so you sought that instead of reacting out of your flesh. And it changes everything. And I've just been coming to this place of realizing that I need not just a Sunday morning to come and spend time and worship and adore God for what He's done, but I need every morning, I need to just spend time with Him. Like, He's the one that's continually filling my cup. Like, if I go throughout my week looking for Sunday to fill me up, then I have 6 days that are just drawing from my cup. You know, my cup's only so big. And so I come every morning now. I wake up crack of dawn because I got a little tribe that we're starting. I have one son, but he wakes up early. And if I don't beat him up, then my day is already started and I can't even spend time with God. So I wake up before the sun gets up and I just hop in my car, throw on some worship music, and I'd be like, what are you doing today, God? And for the last 2 weeks, I haven't done anything but cry. I don't even know what He's doing. I know He's healing my heart. But I just get in the morning and I just cry. I throw on some worship music, even just singing the songs that we were singing right now. I'm like, man, you're so good. Like, He's so good. And I think He just wants us to spend time with Him so that we can fully understand His goodness. You know, like I was saying before, the world screams at us and tries to get us to believe that God isn't inherently good and that He doesn't have our best in mind. But if we come to spend time with Him, we'll see that the opposite is actually true. And before I stop, I wanted to read this thing because God gave me this revelation 2 years ago. My mom got diagnosed with breast cancer, and my wife's mom got breast cancer as well, all at the same time. And I knew that God was calling my wife and I into some sort of a healing ministry. In that moment when I told you I had that encounter with Him, He told me He's going to use me to heal people. And I was just like, God, if You are healer, like, why am I seeing the exact opposite in my life? You know, Your word says that You heal, and by Your stripes we are healed. But I'm experiencing the complete opposite. My circumstances are telling me different. My mom's sick. Christina's mom's sick. And both of us were in this place of brokenness. Like, we just want to understand, God. So in the moment of trying to figure all this out, we're also full-time missionaries, and we're trying to pay bills, and neither one of us have jobs. We're living out in Hawaii, and we just moved out there on this faith word, and we're just trying to figure it out. And so I'm praying for my wife one night, and she is bawling her eyes out, and God just gives me this picture, and I write it down because I knew it was going to be significant, and it was going to help me on my journey the rest of the way. So I'm just going to read it to y'all real quick, and I think it'll bless y'all. So I wrote it down as a journal entry, and I called the encounter that I had the glass staircase. So I was praying for my wife about our current circumstances, and this is what I felt like the Lord showing me. I was standing at the edge of a cliff overlooking a deep, dark pit. As I looked out in front of me, I saw another higher cliff with a door sitting on top of it. In my spirit, I knew that I had to get to and walk through that doorway somehow. From where I was standing, my current perspective, it was physically impossible. I looked for options to get across, but there were none. I just couldn't do it. The current obstacle was just too difficult. I began to feel trapped on this cliff, and I felt like I couldn't possibly continue this journey and see through to fruition the task that had been given to me to accomplish. Then I heard a voice calling out to me from behind the door on the other side of the pit. It said, "Step out." I sat there looking in front of me, wondering how I could possibly step out into this big, black, bottomless pit. Was the voice asking me to do the impossible? I mean, I certainly couldn't jump that far. The distance was just too great. As I was pondering all, I again heard the voice say to me, "Step out. Just trust me." It didn't make any sense to me, but what I didn't know and what I couldn't see was that there was a glass staircase right in front of me, leading me straight up to the door, and that would safely carry me over this deep, dark pit. God, the voice who was calling out to me, had already prepared the way for me. All that I had to do was trust him and take that first step. There was more to the vision. As I started to walk up the glass stairway, I began to look down and I saw all the reasons why I couldn't keep walking and moving forward on this journey of faith. I saw a lack of finances. I saw that I didn't have enough time. I saw my critics and my naysayers. I saw my weakness and my inability, my lack of talent, and so many other things. All of these things sat below me in this pit of intimidation. As I was looking down, getting stuck there in all my fears, I again heard the voice whisper to me, "Keep coming." So I looked up and fixed my gaze back on the door and started to walk towards the voice. Each step was a step of faith. Each step was drawing me one step closer to the one who was calling to me. The temptation to look down was still there, but I chose not to. One step of faith at a time, each one increasing my ability to trust the Lord. With each one, I was coming up a little bit higher until eventually I could finally see my circumstances from God's perspective. I felt a peace now that I was closer to the voice. As I looked back down at the pit behind me, I began to realize that with God, all things are possible. The vision continued. I began to reach for the door handle with excitement in my spirit, anticipating what would await me behind the door. As I opened it and walked through, I saw the same scene all over again. It was another set of cliffs with another deep, dark pit standing between me and the next door. Again, I heard the voice calling me out to come. This time, there was no doubt, no fear in my heart or in my mind, only the trust and simple faith in the one who was calling me. So I began to run towards the voice that was beckoning me onwards, the voice that was calling me higher, the voice that was calling me into a greater place of intimacy, the voice that was calling me home. And I feel like I just wanted to share that with y'all this week because I feel like whatever is going on in your life, there's a voice that's trying to communicate to us, and he just wants us to come and spend time with him. And that is our home. Like, he wants us to know that he's our sustenance, he's our source, he's our provider, he's our healer, he's our everything. And so as the waves of life crash over you, we can be strong and steadfast as we stand on the rock and just proclaim his goodness and dwell and abide in him. So I appreciate y'all again having me. I just wanted to share that with y'all. I hope it blessed you and filled your cup and just help you to, again, come back to that first place. Maybe it helped to remind you of the time when God encountered you, when he met you for the first time. And I told Jason, like, I feel like more than anything, God is awakening first love within this body. And he's just drawing everyone back to that place of intimacy. Like, hey, I love you. Like, come spend time with me. Soak in this. Like, let me show you how much I love you and how much I care for you and how much I just want to be your everything. And when we call upon him for whatever it is that we need him, he promises to be that thing. Amen. So, yeah.